Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hawkeyed on the prize. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are together again in the air everywhere as we beat the wind coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from another dimension, a dimension of only sound and mind, the boundaries of imagination. The Fox Sports Radio studios, here we are back at it again. And there is a pattern this time of the year. Usually it's not this time of the year, because usually by this time of the year the NBA is over. But the season pushed back, the playoffs continuing in the month of June, and our lead does come from Pro Bouncy Ball. So if you're easily triggered by some goofball on the radio talking about basketball, this is not for you. But I watched. Eastern Conference Finals, game number one. The Hawks and the Bucks in Brewtown. And I don't know if you watched it or not. We, as I said, watched it. We watched it so you didn't have to. I'll give you the particulars on this. The big headline here, Trae Young, 48 points. 48 points. That's a lot. Almost reached the big 5-0 there. 48 points, had 11 assists, 7 rebounds, and a partridge in a pear tree. And the Atlanta Hawks squeezing past the Milwaukee Bucks, 116-113. So Atlanta getting first blood in the Eastern Finals. John Collins had a big second half, 17 of his 23 in the second half. He had a key basket down the stretch and a bunch of rebounds, 15 of them. Clint Capella, the guy that embarrassed Joel Embiid in the last round, he had 19 rebounds that he snatched off the glass for the ATL. So congratulations to Atlanta. But you know how we operate in these parts. The better story is in the losing locker room. So let us discuss. Now, what are the takeaways here from the Hawks upsetting the Bucks? I've got Snow White, Jack Sparrow, and genetics. And we will tie all of these things together, and we're going to make some goulash is what we're going to make. Now, A, the Milwaukee Bucks deserve to do the walk of shame, and they did do the walk of shame off the course. It's only one game, but it's a pathetic opening act. I didn't get blown off the court. This is actually worse in many ways. Most games are won. They're won and lost in crunch time. And most games are lost, not won. This would be a textbook example. The Hawks, they made a couple more plays down the stretch, but in reality, Milwaukee lost this game more than Atlanta won it. Now, what is my evidence? All right, let's take it back. You saw the game. You know where I'm going to go with this. So Drew Holiday hits this 27-foot three-point fallback shot, and the Bucks go up by 7 points at about the four-minute mark. Got a seven-point lead. So that's only two, three possessions, a couple three-pointers and an extra basket, and you're tied up. But 7-point lead at home 4 minutes ago, which means what? It means if you merely execute as the home team down the stretch, you win that game. All right, no empty possessions, take some time off the clock, get good shots, make your foul shots. In the final chapter of game one, it was a parody of a Disney movie. Forget about Snow White. All right, you had Giannis Antetokounmpo and the seven dwarfs, or in this case, the four dwarfs. Milwaukee was outscored 18-8 to close the game, final 4 minutes, as they had a 7-point lead, ended up losing by three. You can do the math on that. The Greek Freak, he was 2 of 2 from the floor, 2 of 2 from the line, and had 6 of the 8 points. The rest of the Bucks team in the final 4 minutes, nursing a 7-point lead at home in game one of the Eastern Finals, the rest of the Bucks in the final 4 minutes, 0 of 5 from the floor, and scored 2 stinking points from the foul line. And a special mark next to the name of Chris Middleton, who was 0-3 from the floor to close the game, missed a game-tying three ball as his final act of this game. Middleton sucked at a time you cannot suck. In fact, the entire game, it was a monstrosity. 6 of 23 shooting, 0 of 9 from three-point range for one of the key members of the Milwaukee Bucks. And Drew Holiday had a stat line that you would take, but Chris Middleton, my goodness, and a minus 13 plus minus in a game that the Atlanta Hawks won by 3 points. The Bucks lost by three. So you can see how much better the Bucks were when Middleton was hanging out on the bench. That is known as peeing in the pool, is what that is. Chris Middleton, my God. Now, part B of this, the NBA establishment media are going to overwhelm your senses with Trae Young. And I'm not here to rain on Trae Young's parade. Trae Young was the cat's pajamas, as the saying goes there in this game. He was exceptional. He was Johnny Depp from Pirates of the Caribbean as Captain Jack Sparrow. At times, some of those shots he was making were insane. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well from the outside, but he was consistent throughout. You know, there were some goosebumps in terms of production throughout. 25 points in the first half, but 23 in the second half to get to the 48. Had 11 in the fourth quarter. Didn't shoot well at all. Most of that was from the foul line. He made 9 foul shots, only 1 of 7 down the stretch. But the reason I am not going to sit here and bury Trae Young for shooting 1 of 7 in the fourth quarter is because, unlike PG-13, who he had to get a diaper change there in clutch time, Trae Young made both of his foul shots with 4.6 seconds left. Now, we learned, and we already knew this, but we were reminded that, well, this might seem like, you know, not a big deal, but when you miss them and all the other team needs is a center, DeAndre Ayton, to push off and shove a guy because the referees won't call it and get to the basket, that's a big-time foul shot. So Trae Young made 2 clutch foul shots with 4.6 left, which meant Milwaukee had to then shoot a desperation 3-point shot and didn't do it. Now, if you want to nitpick, which we do, we get paid to nitpick in sports radio, 34 shots to get to 48 points. The math on that isn't particularly good. It's not terrible, but it's not like an all-time amazing 48-point performance. And if only Trae Young had focused more on shots inside the three-point line, he would have been much more efficient. He shot almost 62% inside the three-point line, 30% from downtown. It's volume shooting is what that is. All right, nevertheless, legends are born in the NBA postseason, and Trae Young put on the spectacle. If there was one snapshot moment that most people took away from this, and I'm talking about the people that don't actually watch these games and just look at the highlights, it was the Harlem Globetrotters-esque moment where Trae Young brought the razzle-dazzle to this game. Defining moment in the third quarter, Trae Young had a crossover shimmy, and then he proceeded to take his time and knock down a wide-open three-point shot as there were about 2.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. The Bucks' defense was so bad. How bad were they? They were so bad on that particular play that Trae Young had enough time to enjoy a nice leisurely picnic lunch. They were that bad. 3 Milwaukee defenders, not one, not two, 3 Milwaukee defenders were frozen in time as they looked like they were on break at the water cooler having a conversation while Trae Young did the shimmy and then collected himself, took a deep breath, and knocked down the three-point shot like he was warming up before the game. It was that embarrassing for the Bucks. And it was in the third quarter, but yet Milwaukee still ended up with a 7-point lead with 4 minutes to go in the game and blew it. All right, last word here. So in terms of the Mather scale of panic for the Bucks, 1 of 10, 1-2-10, I should say, with 10 being the worst of the worst, this loss is an 8. I'm going to go 8 on the Mather scale of panic for Milwaukee. Now, these games are going to be close. I don't see a lot separating Milwaukee and Atlanta. Very similar. The Clippers are equal to Phoenix. There's not much difference. The Clippers without all-NBA player Kawhi Leonard right there, blow for blow, with the Suns. And the Bucks and Hawks are in the same boat there. The margins are thin. So you end up on a 7-point lead at home because of terrible play in the final 4 minutes. The other thing that I'm looking at here is the genetics are not particularly great here. The Hawks have been displaying the clutch gene. They have better genetics. The Bucks not so much. Now the key thing here that gets cranked up is game number 2. All right, so now things get ratcheted up because all of the immense pressure is on Giannis Antetokounmpo and Milwaukee not to F this up. If they stub their toe again, go down 0-2, then it's Panic City and losing both at home. They're not the Clippers. The Clippers can come back as they did against the Mavericks, but the Hawks going into game 2 are playing with house money because they had to get one in Wisconsin. They've gotten their one win in Wisconsin, and so now anything extra after that, and they're in a much better position. All right, let's hear now from some of the key participants. Mike Budenholzer didn't score any points, didn't get any rebounds, had no assists, but he walked up and down the sidelines with a panicked look on his face, and he pointed out that it takes the whole of the Bucks to get it done.
There was some good stuff from particularly Drew and Giannis, two-man game, and So we need everybody to participate, and I think everybody will just continue to get better going into the second game.
Everyone will get better. Everyone's going to get better. And you all get participation awards. You get a participation award, you get one, and you get one. Now, how about Giannis Antetokounmpo? The Bucks had the ball, chance to tie the game. Now, it is interesting that Chris Middleton was who took the final shot, the assumption being that if Giannis got the ball, they would have had Haka Giannis, Haka Freak, the Greek Freak, and he's not a noted foul shooter. He wasn't bad in this game, but here is Giannis on what happened on the final part of that game.
I just seen Clint Capella, playing back and just having Drew coming out of the pick and roll keeps him guessing. And now you got me rolling. You got Drew coming with the ball for the jump shot, for a layup. I need somebody help. I think Chris wide open.
Yeah. Did he say he was scared to death? I don't think he said he was scared to death. Anyway, here's more. Here's Giannis pointing out that a time-tested cliche, when you have something you have to say to the media, but you really don't have anything to say, you pull out the bag of cliches, and here's Giannis spitting a few out.
It doesn't matter if we were down 2-0 with Brooklyn. That was the difference is, That doesn't mean that we might get, we might be down 1-0 or 2-0 and get back. It might be a totally different case. So it never gets easy. At the end of the day, we got to come, as I said, we got to do our job. We got to be better.
Yeah. It never gets easy. You don't play the Houston Rockets in the playoffs. They're not walking through that door. The Detroit Pistons are not walking through that door. No, no, no.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
A whole lot of name calling. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we go word by word, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live under the strawberry moonlight, camouflaged by the darkness. Be careful. It's a full moon, a super moon. The Fox Sports Radio studios, here we are back at it again. And the lead this hour comes from baseball, a story that continues to have me captivated and care if you're all that captivated. I think it's a great story. It's a story that continues to have legs. We go back to a baseball game played the other night between the Washington Nationals and that Natitude against the Fightin' Phils. The story continues to breathe here. Max Scherzer acting like a fussy baby. We talked about this in a previous episode of the program after Phillies manager Joe Girardi had the umpires do a check, pointed right at him, said, check that man for the foreign substances. Check him for the sticky stuff. Or something along those lines. It was a wild scene. Wild scene there. Girardi ended up getting ejected, and Max Scherzer was like taunting Girardi. And so the Washington GM, Mike Rizzo, decided to chime in. He was asked about it, the baseball controversy. Now, I don't know if you heard what he said or not. Maybe not. We actually have the audio tape. This was from DC Sports Radio. And Mike Rizzo, the general manager of the Washington Nationals, commenting on the situation between his pitcher, Max Scherzer, and Joe Girardi.
Do you think Girardi was playing games there?
Of course he was. What are we, idiots? Of course he was.
I agree.
It's embarrassing for Girardi. It's embarrassing for the Phillies. It's embarrassing for baseball. Yes, he was playing games, and hey, that's his right. You know, gamesmanship had nothing to do with substances. He had no probable cause to ask for it. The ump shouldn't have allowed it. But it happened, and you got to deal with it. This is what we're going to have to deal with. And you think you're going to intimidate a Max Scherzer and that type of thing? It's just not going to happen.
All right. So that was in a nutshell. You heard the audio there. The key parts of that. No, it's a bad take. No! Don't hit the applause. It's a bad take. You don't celebrate bad takes. All right, so let's discuss here. The last part, which got cut off, is Rizzo added he's a con artist. He called Joe Girardi a con artist. I guess we'll get to all this. I'll unpack it. So let us discuss the question. Where are you at on these Mike Rizzo comments, which we just played for you? Spicy, hot, good audio on the Sports Talk Radio there in D.C., comments about Joe Girardi. So where are you at on this? Now, my observations, you've got the ballad, magazine stand, and pay dirt. And we will combine all of these things together in this Maller monologue and make the Baba Ganoush. We're going to make the Baba Ganoush. Now, number one. Mike Rizzo needs to go to the deli counter and take a number is what he needs to do. Right? He joins the growing list of completely clueless nincompoops on this story, right? Now, he's biased. He works for the Washington Nationals. Did you expect him to get on the radio and say, you know what, Max Scherzer, I would check him every inning. The guy's a cheat. Of course he's not going to say that. But the number of buffoons on this topic is concerning. Joe Girardi's not embarrassing. This is not embarrassing for baseball. If anybody should be embarrassed, it's Max Scherzer. Right? That was good old-fashioned managing. Somewhere along the way, baseball, the younger baseball fan, has lost their way. They're a bunch of Mr. Softies, right? And we call it the Ballad of Billy Ball, paying homage to ex-Yankee and A's skipper, the late, great Billy Martin, and others like him, cut out of that cloth of Billy Martin that would rock the boat. The problem, as the way I see it, we have now in baseball, most managers are pre-programmed robots. They're robots. They're pencil-pushing stooges. Even the guys that used to play and all these managers played at some point along the way, but they're so in bed with the front office, and it's all about the analytical walking papers that they get every day and the printouts and all that, that these guys keep a low profile. It's push-button managing is what it is in baseball today. And Girardi, for better or worse, was flashing back to the olden days when managers had the audacity to be interactive. The fellas today are like a bump on a log, most of them, motionless managers. And there was a time in baseball where anything to get an advantage as far as in the dugout of it. I remember for years when pitchers, there were always guys that would go to the mound sometimes with chains, right? They'd have gold chains on. And if you really wanted to mess with the psyche of a pitcher that wore a lot of chains, you'd go out to the umpire and say, our batters are distracted by the gold chain. And then they'd go out to the mound and they'd say, well, you got to hide the gold chain or take it off. And it was a big, big production. But it was to gain an advantage because your hitters were having problems, so you try to get the pitcher off his game. And that's what Girardi was trying to do here. Now, secondly, I have a bone to pick with this Washington National GM, Mike Rizzo, who called Joe Girardi a con artist. And I remember when I was in elementary school on the playground, and I learned it takes one to know one. Mike Rizzo is a con artist. I will not forget. I was on the radio here in 2012 when the Nationals had what was seemingly a World Series-worthy team, and that little weasel, Mike Rizzo, cost Washington a chance to get to the 2012 World Series out of an abundance of caution. Now, a lot of people seemingly have forgotten about this outside the Beltway. I don't know inside. I assume people that are Nationals fans still remember, but he decided, Mike Rizzo, to shut down a perfectly healthy Steven Strasburg after 160 innings in 2012, right around that number, give or take, 160 innings, in order to protect Strasburg's arm in the future. It's another one of these cases where the front office said, well, we know if you go over 160 innings, your arm's going to fall off. And we're going to protect you because you're not going to end up on the disabled list or the injured list, whatever they call it, whatever the PC police call it these days. You're not going to be on that at all. Don't worry about it because we're going to protect you. We're going to baby you. Now, not only did the Nationals in the playoffs that year, spoiler alert, it didn't work. Much of Strasburg's career prior to that and since then has been defined by the injury. And so Mike Rizzo's a weasel. He cost the Nationals a chance at a deep run in the playoffs because he was babying a pitcher who then proceeded to land on the injured list four times. This is in 2012 this happened. Four times in 2015 and 2015 he had elbow issues. Just a couple years after that, he missed most of last season with carpal tunnel problems. He's been on and off with various injuries. You look at the injury charts of Steven Strasburg, it's a mess. So good job by Mike Rizzo, correctly predicting back in 2012 that as long as Strasburg doesn't go over 160 innings, I'm going to protect the long-term health. My ass. All right, now meanwhile, back to the issue at hand. Mike Rizzo saying that Joe Girardi didn't, quote, didn't have probable cause to check Max Scherzer. That is crap on a cracker is what that is. Now, I can debunk that in 5 seconds. 5 seconds that there was no probable cause. A number of people around baseball are totally oblivious of Max Scherzer's role in this sordid chapter in baseball history. And let me educate you. Let me educate the dum-dums. Joe Girardi and anybody else that goes against the Nationals when Max Scherzer's on the mound, they have a smoking gun. They have a smoking gun. And what Girardi should have gone out and done is walk out to the mound with a magazine stand filled with Sports Illustrateds, with Bubba Harkins. You might not know who that is, but Bubba Harkins was a longtime clubhouse employee with the Angels for his entire life, 30, 40 years, something like that. I mean, I was there forever. He was part of the fabric of the Big A. And Bubba Harkins was fired for being the dealer of goo. He wasn't dealing cocaine or heroin. He was dealing a special sticky icky that the elites on the mound in baseball wanted. And the reason that we know that Harkins, the reason we know Scherzer's tied to Harkins, Harkins is a good dude. I don't know him personally. I dealt with him a little bit years ago in another life when I was a radio stringer and I covered the Angels a lot and I was out there and killing time in the clubhouse to try to wait for these idiots to come talk. But they have Balco biogenesis, essentially, of pitchers here because Brian Harkins sang like a canary. And he named names. He showed text messages. Gerrit Cole, Max Scherzer, several other big-name pitchers. The best of the best were on that. And Sports Illustrated fact-checked that this guy Harkins is suing. He got fired. He was patient zero. Baseball got rid of him, and then he started naming names. He's like, well, I'm never going to work in baseball again, so let me give all my phone messages to Sports Illustrated, to the media, and they got the good stuff. And it was all verified through information, fact-checking by Sports Illustrated, old-fashioned reporting, that was all legit. Like, Max Scherzer was texting the clubhouse guy in Anaheim, a place he had never played as a hometown player, to try to get some stuff to cheat. That's all the probable cause you need. That is the smoking gun for Max Scherzer. He's, again, as I said in the previous episode, he's not the victim. All right, final point. So the number of finicky baseball scribes, this is another one of my pet peeves here. If I see one more headline by some doofus who's offended because Major League Baseball and this is bad for the game and all this, this crackdown needs to stop of these pitchers. Have you been reading this nonsense, this pearl clutching, which is in, you know, the baseball media pages? Shame on baseball. It's mortifying. Hideous for the game. It's become ludicrous. Yeah. My response is to obviously pump the brakes on that, and these are all terrible opinions. This story is what I call pay dirt. Imagine, if you will, a world where you have been marginalized as a sport. Nobody talks about your sport until the World Series, and even then they give it a brief mention. And here you are, you're sitting on oil reserves, if you're Major League Baseball. This story, pay dirt. And could be worth trillions of dollars in free media coverage. And then you complain because you have to, you know, somebody has to dig a hole, and oil smells, it's messy, it's going to make a mess. That's essentially what is happening here. And I'm talking about the baseball media more than anybody. The very people whose job description, they get paid, the baseball writer community, to write about baseball. This is the most interesting thing, the most stimulating thing, the most provocative thing that's happened in baseball in years. People are talking about baseball on the radio in June. Now, I'm one of the few that still does it, but I've got buddies of mine that are around the country in different markets that do sports radio. I'm like, yeah, we're talking about it. This is a great story. And so, of course, it's a great story. So the number of the baseball writers are offended. Let's make sure to nip it in the bud. We don't want a good story where people talk about baseball. No, we don't want that at all. No. It's so stupid. The amount of people that are just moronic on this one, fascinating. But the defenders of Max Scherzer, the guy that was named, it reminds me when, you know, Ryan Braun, now Scherzer hasn't lied and said he didn't use the sticky stuff, but I remember when the Biogenesis list came out. I mean, that's gotcha. We gotcha. Brian Harkin's phone is gotcha. And as much as we goof on Gerrit Cole, Max Scherzer's right next to him.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Cool.
Ben, during yesterday's show, you did a lot of complaining about the time that the Suns got to draw up a play while the refs went to replay. Unfortunately, you weren't the only one complaining about that. What do you think the chances are that the NBA implements a rule that teams can't huddle up during replay reviews?
Zero. The NBA has had this problem for years. It's a pernicious problem. It's gradually gotten worse. And it's not just the NBA, but it adds a layer of professional wrestling. It was like a professional wrestling match where the officials just kept standing around and the game was delayed. But instant replay is one man's inconclusive evidence and another man's no doubt about it. And as long as you have the human element, mistakes are going to be made. It's ridiculous. It's out of control. But nothing's going to change. It's an endless cycle. Next!
It was reported on Monday that Mike D'Antoni is a finalist for the Trailblazers job. Now, D'Antoni has been Coach of the Year twice. He's made many deep playoff runs with a number of different teams. However, he's never been able to make it to the finals. Do you think it would be more of the same in Portland?
Well, outside of putting a giant umbrella over Portland and a heater and cranking it up to 85 degrees in February, Portland is not going to be an all-inclusive relocation destination. So they're not going to get superstars there other than guys they draft. But Mike D'Antoni with Damian Lillard would be fun. But the problem is just about every team in the NBA is running a version of the D'Antoni system. But I don't think the Blazers would get any further with D'Antoni than they did under the previous coaches. But they'd be enjoyable, and they'd be a good soundbite with D'Antoni. Next!
New Lions coach Dan Campbell said in an interview recently that he never viewed Jared Goff as a bridge quarterback and that he sees him as the long-term solution under center. Ben, how long do you think Goff will be the Lions starter?
Well, Dan Campbell, number one, knows he is stuck with this turd sandwich and he's got to make the most of it, so he's going to put on a happy face. Jared Goff's contract is so bad, the Lions can't get out of that till 2023. There's an escape hatch in 2023. So the move here, you start Goff, you suck, you have 20-plus interceptions, get a quarterback in the first round, and then Goff comes back, plays a little bit next year, and then that's it. How'd we do?
You pass this edition.
There it is. That's a winner!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And we actually have an audio clip that we want to play for you. This comes from the NBC broadcast booth there, the NBC Sports Network, which is losing the National Hockey League. But listen here, the game has ended. The Islanders have won the game, so the series continues with Tampa Bay. But listen to the reaction of the broadcasters when it starts raining down projectiles from the fans on Long Island.
I'm not sure why the Islander fans are peppering the ice with cans of whatever it is on the ice. Your team just won in overtime and you're going to game seven and you're one win away from going to Stanley Cup final. I can't understand this. I mean, they are throwing them from all sections. This is dangerous for the players. This is your team.
I have no idea why they would be doing this.
I mean, Cal Clutterbuck just absolutely knocked a can of something out of the air.
Wow. It was what? And it's more of a visual story, but the announcers on TV did a pretty good job there. But it was raining down beer. And
that was Eddie Olczyk.
Yeah, the great Eddie Olczyk there with the outrage. Now, remember when Kyrie Irving did not get hit with a water bottle, but somebody threw it in his direction, that led to an arrest, and Irving went on that rant claiming the fans treat the players as if they're zoo animals or animals in a zoo or something like that. Do you think, Eddie, you're a hockey guy, you think like Cal Clutterbuck after the game, I didn't see his news conference, did he come out and say, I can't believe these people are chucking beer cans at us and we won the game. This is not right. I want everyone arrested. Did we get any of that kind of commentary, Eddie?
No, but they did interview Anthony Beauvillier, who scored the overtime game winner, and he did it kind of like in the concourse, and they had to put like a tarp over him to make sure he didn't get... to make sure he didn't get hit with anything. He even said, you know, he was laughing because he was happy that he just scored an overtime game winner.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, yeah, I hope I don't get hit with anything here. But
there were no criminal charges, no, you know, because there are thousands of people that could have been arrested, Eddie. I mean,
the difference is that this was the home fans celebrating a win and not throwing things at an opponent. They were, for some reason, throwing them.
So that's okay. So if you win, if you're the home team, allowed to throw.
What are the Islanders going to do? Try and prosecute their own fans? I don't think that would go over well. So,
well, technically, the Celtics and the Sixers, well, not to say there were criminal charges in Philly. The guy that dropped the popcorn on Russell Westbrook and he treated it like shrapnel.
Yeah, but it was against the
The guy in Boston got charged, right? He got charged with throwing the water bottle.
Well, he's aiming at somebody and trying to hit him.
Yeah, well, you're throwing a beer. I'd rather get hit by a water bottle than a beer can, if you had to choose.
I'm not defending. I mean, like, it's stupid.
So do you
either
think,
but
those guys should be charged in New York? So they just blindly threw it.
Yes, there.
So that you shouldn't be charged. If you blindly throw it, you don't get charged.
Well,
this
is something that's like a huge deal in the court of law. Intent.
How do you know the intent that guy was trying to throw it at Kyrie Irving? How do you know he wasn't just trying to throw it at somebody else? How can you prove that he was trying to hit Kyrie Irving?
Really, you want to go down that ridiculous route?
Well, what is your evidence? I'd like to hear it. I don't know the guy. I saw him throw a water bottle. I don't know that he threw it at Kyrie Irving intentionally. He might have just been trying to hit any Celtic, not just Kyrie. He might have just hit anybody in a green uniform.
Okay, so that doesn't change the point. He was trying to.
But he didn't hit anyone.
He was trying to.
Yeah, he was trying to, but he didn't hit anybody. I didn't even know if he was trying.
Try and shoot somebody and you miss, you're still going to jail.
I think it's ridiculous the guy was charged in Boston. I think it was so stupid. It was embarrassing.
No,
NBA
that's ridiculous.
Players are so soft. It's ridiculous.
That's I cannot believe that. Of course you got to charge. That discourages fans from doing stupid crap like that.
If you think that discourages anyone, you're an idiot. It doesn't discourage anyone.
Doesn't?
No, it does not. You think a drunk guy at a game – is going to, when he's picking up something to throw at a player, he's like, well, wait a minute, the guy in Boston got charged, I better not do it. No, of course not. Nobody, really? Nobody does.
You don't think that people are sitting there, and then he's got friends that are like, oh, hey, remember that guy got charged, as opposed to people doing this because they know that the worst that can happen to me.
If you think that, you're a moron.
No, the guys that do this don't think that.
It's just like the laws. Like, they have laws for everything. The people that follow laws don't kill people. The people that don't care about the law do that kind of stuff. That's how it works.
If the people follow the law, they don't need the law. Guess what? If I can do something and I can get away with it without any punishment, I'm going to continue doing that.
Listen, I've killed as many people as I want to kill, Koopaloop. The number's zero, okay? I could kill anybody I want. The number's zero.
Are we talking about murder or
crime in general, Coop? You seem to think that drunk guys that would throw stuff on the field at a sporting event stop and think about their actions. They might, no, I shouldn't do that. I might get in trouble. No, they don't. And for you to say that's absurd. The type of person that would throw something at someone at a sporting event is not sitting there doing a cost-benefit analysis of how much it's going to cost them with lawyer fees and going to jail. They don't care about that. At all. It's not a deterrent in any way.
Until something happens to where they have to think about something like that.
It is no deterrent at all. Really? Your argument that it's a deterrent, it is not a deterrent.
All right, so you're saying that just laws don't matter. Laws don't deter anybody from doing anything.
No, you should punish people for doing things wrong, but it's not a deterrent. It has been illegal to shoot people for how many years? People still shoot people. That's a perfect example.
It is not a perfect example. Politicians add more laws versus throwing a water bottle at somebody.
Murder, it's the same concept.
People, you have to be a certain type of person to kill somebody.
They don't. They know you can add all the laws you want. People are going to commit crime. Whatever it is.
No, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Your statement is absurd. You think the drunk sports fan that's going to throw something at an athlete is going to stop and say, well, I shouldn't do that. The guy in Boston got charged with a crime.
You think if somebody goes out streaking during the U.S. Open, right, and then that person gets arrested and sentenced to jail for five years, you don't think that's ever going to deter somebody from going streaking during that event afterwards?
I don't.
That's dumb.
There have been rules against this kind of activity. The people that do it don't think about it.
It's the punishment that makes the difference. Of course, there's rules, but what happens if you break the rules makes the difference. It absolutely does.
You could not be more wrong.
No, I am absolutely right. Eddie, please, we're having a discussion.
Eddie, feel free every single time. Eddie knows he's bored with this and he wants to move on.
No, we're having a discussion. I speed all the time. You know, and I get in trouble for it, but they charge me a ticket. If I sped tomorrow and then I went to jail for it, guess what? I'm never speeding again.
Oh, whoa. Way to go, Coop. Got me.
Yeah, I did get you. You have nothing to say.
Yeah. Oh, you got me. Yeah, but again, like I said, I stand by my statement. These are all for style points on social media. It's not going to deter. If your goal is to deter people, it's not working. People do whatever they want. I'm pretty sure I just won this argument.
I rest my case.
Well, by the way, the rule of an argument is if you announce you've won the argument, you haven't won the argument. So you've just lost the argument by announcing you've won the argument.
If you say, you got me, and then just repeat the same thing that you've been saying without addressing what I just said, you lost the argument.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, Coop, if people, and you can go to jail, by the way, if you go over a certain amount of, over the speed limit, you can go to jail.
Yeah, but that's why I don't go over that speed limit, because I don't want to go to jail.
My way around that, Coop, is, let me tell you what I do there, is I have a car that won't go fast enough to reach that level, so I don't have to worry about it. I can go as fast as I want. That car won't go any higher. Anyway, it is the Ben Maller Show. Let's go to, who do we have here? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Let's say hello to Chris in Houston. Hello, Christopher.
Wow, man. I should have had some popcorn for that, man. But I got to tell you, man, look here. Listen to both of you. I got to agree with Ben, Coop, and I'm going to put this out there like this. If laws were so terrifying to people, it wouldn't be repeat offenders. Period. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be domestic violence, because, I mean, it wouldn't be rape. I mean, that's some of the worst, because even if you go to jail, you
no,
still
No, you
get...
are comparing, like, heinous crime.
It's the same concept,
it is not
cool.
the
it's
same
the
concept.
It's the same concept. No,
it's,
you don't understand
it is,
this.
No, it is a different type of person to rape someone than to throw a water bottle at a sporting event.
Do you think anyone, would throw, anyone would throw a water bottle at a sporting event?
I don't think that anybody that would throw a water bottle at a sporting event would rape someone or kill someone. I think that's a different argument.
With common sense, what you're missing is, with alcohol, it's a reason why they call it liquid courage. It's a reason
okay,
why they call it that.
I don't get drunk and then go murder somebody.
If well, people,
people
do,
though.
So.
I mean, that's what happens. People, yes, exactly. People do if that.
That dude, a man get caught to his wife, he find out his wife's cheating, what he gonna do? Go get drunk and sit there, and next thing you know, he does something stupid, and he's sitting in court saying, well, you know, I wasn't in the right
let
mind.
Let me ask you,
know,
Chris, would you ever murder somebody because you got too drunk?
Hell no, because...
But have you ever done anything stupid while drunk? I guarantee you have.
Yes.
So
you know,
we're talking about
thing,
different things.
Thing,
what
no,
are you talking about?
No. One thing my dad told me when I was young, and he said this all the time, if you're going to do something, look at your consequences when you do it. If you don't look at...
Exactly.
If you don't, some people don't. You look at people...
That's
look at
my
athletes,
point. Exactly.
They are millionaires riding around with Uzi. You know what I'm saying? Like, what kind of sense does that make?
Chris,
you know,
can I ask you something? You live in Texas. Do you smoke weed? I know you do. If
wow,
right. Wow, cool. You just outed
and I know,
Chris
and
Houston.
And believe
how
me,
dare you?
I got caught, and I, look here. They,
yes,
I got
but
over.
Let me ask you.
I got pulled over.
If
Coop,
if the punishment was 10 years in jail, would you risk it?
It's still worse in Texas. They just lowered it, Coop.
If
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you
it doesn't matter.
You
what
gauge.
Laws they
you
have.
Gauge. Yes, it does because you
no,
gauge.
It don't.
Yes, it does.
Chris, listen, you're right. You're talking to a brick wall here, Chris. Listen, you are on the same page.
It's called risk. It's called risk analysis. You risk it, and you say, if I get caught with this weed, I'm gonna get a fine. So I'm gonna do it.
All Chris is saying, and I'm saying, is listen. That's what most people are like. You. I agree with you, Coop. But the people that are going to do this stuff at sporting events are not sitting there thinking, I could get in trouble. They're not worried about
it. No, they just like, look, I'm going to be cool. I'm going to get famous. Whatever. You know, and they're getting they raised. And it's one thing about it, man. When you combine alcohol or drugs with anything, you get some real idiots, bro. And you got to understand that, man. They get really crazy, you know. And, I mean, come on, man. The malice in the palace. The malice in the palace, Coop. A guy literally squared up with an NBA player and got knocked out. Do you remember
that? Jermaine O'Neal, the heavyweight champion of the world.
I do remember that. Have we seen any players rush up into the stands since then?
Well, because the NBA put a stiff enough punishment on them
where
they don't want to miss the whole season.
You.
But they're missing millions. These other people don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're right, Chris. You've won, and we've won.
But,
it's a win for humanity.
I'm
going to
tell you.
Didn't you just say
you
declared that you won?
Well, that's a clear victory, Eddie. We're allowed. When it's a clear victory, you're allowed to say it.
Wait. Hey, but I'm going to switch it. Ben, yesterday, man, with your monologue about your Clippers, you was right. That was a good loss. A good loss for us. That's what it was, Ben.
I'm done with you, Chris. You know, you should have stopped while you were ahead.
Oh.
You donkey. You should have stopped while you were ahead.
Oh, great call, Chris.
Schmuck. The first part of the call was good, Chris.
And I'm going to tell you this, too. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to call out your coach. You know what? That Laker, I mean, this traitor. How you going to tell the Laker fans they need to root for the Clippers now? Man, get out of here. They're not
well, listen, there's only one
Clippers.
NBA team in LA right now. He's feeling, you know, Ty Lue feels bad for the historians. They have nothing to cheer for. So he wanted to welcome them.
Come on, man. That's it's not a rivalry. It's more like a beatdown every time y'all play the Lakers. But I mean, come on, man.
I know the Clippers
Ty Lue
do beat them all the time.
Just lost his Laker card with that one. He might as well get. He might as well see if he can get his coach with his.
All right, I gotta go. I'm like 20 minutes late, but thank you. I appreciate that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's now time for. Time for.
Well, hurry! I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter.
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
And away we go with Ask Ben. Your questions are answers for the rest of the hour. This portion of the Ben Maller Show made possible by Discover Card. We believe a better tomorrow is possible for everyone. Discover something brighter. Eliana writes in. She says, full moon editions of the show are the finest Marconi-worthy radio. Well, thank you. Clearly, Andrea predicted it. Koopa Loop has been triggered by the Strawberry Moon. That's what's going on here. But let's get to Ask Ben, the reading of the questions. Koopa Loop.
I want to start with a question for everybody. This is from Justin in Cincinnati. Who's
Happy birthday, Justin. 57 years old, Justin. Young man.
He wants to know, do you think... I think he's actually like 40. But
Coop, that was the joke, Coop.
I didn't ruin the joke.
You ruined the
40's
joke.
40's also
get
old.
To the question.
You don't need to touch up the sarcasm, Coop.
Do you think Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone?
No, I don't. Eddie?
No.
Definitely not.
All right. We all agree.
All right.
We're all conspiracy theorists. Then we all are. Yes. All right. What is next?
That's about the only one I believe in.
Yeah.
I believe in
I don't even
them.
Know if it's a really a conspiracy
I believe
at
the,
this point. It's...
The Patrick Ewing lottery
in
the NBA.
The
Cal
Ripken. Studios here.
The night the power went out at Cal
Michael
Ripken.
Jordan suspended for gambling.
Yes, I believe that one.
This one's for everyone as well. It's from Mark Mann, the Broncos fan.
Hi, Mark Mann. He's a fireman, Coop.
Oh. He wants to know, have you ever had neighbors from hell?
Yes. At the house I just sold, which we're giving the keys away today, actually. But the house I sold, when we moved in there, it was like a nice cul-de-sac, great neighborhood. And there was a total drug addict loser guy that lived next door. And he never wanted to be in his house. He was always like in the front porch. He was on the front porch with his shirt off, and he'd be dancing in the driveway at all hours of the day and night and the whole thing. And he ended up robbing a bank, and so we called him Sideshow Bob is what we called him, but quite the neighbor. What about you, Eddie?
Very similar experience. When I was junior or senior in high school, the guy who lived across the street from us, his son suddenly came home to live with him, and he was a paranoid schizophrenic.
Yeah.
And he was out in his... Same thing. All hours of the night, he would just sit or walk around in their driveway. And if you looked at him or said anything, he would just kind of go off. But then one day he destroyed his dad's car with a baseball bat, and we never saw him again. But yeah,
that was it. You don't mess with dad's car. What about you, Roberto?
When I used to live at my parents' house, neighbors across the street were doing some funny things. People would, the garage light would always be on at night, and strange people would come and. But soon the cops came and ended that business.
Oh, drug dealer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Running a business out of the house.
Exactly, there. Yeah.
All right. If they'd been at CVS, they would have been fine. But unfortunately, exactly. They were not. Cool.
I don't know that I would call them neighbors from hell, but I have some fairly new neighbors that just moved in next door. Oh. And there are a lot of people that live in that house, and it's...
Is it like a clown car where they keep coming out of
it? It's just, and then they have, I sound like such a crotchety old man, but they have parties all the time and it's loud.
Oh, how dare them have parties? Those evil people have parties.
It's so different. It used to be racist. Like the quietest family that lived there right before them.
Yeah.
But, whatever.
Be careful what you ask for. All right, what is next year? What do we have?
This one is from Late Night Drug Tester, for everybody as well.
Okay.
Have you ever found any weird objects in something that you rented?
What?
Like a car, hotel room,
Airbnb? Yeah, well, I did. I was in Vegas. I've told the server I went to Vegas. We checked in at the hotel, and somebody had left their, driver's license and their wallet and all the, keys and all. It looked like somebody was still staying in the room, and we were like, what the hell is this? But we turned it into the hotel, obviously, but that was weird. What about you, Eddie?
Nothing I can think of, no.
All right. Roberto, anything?
No, I don't think I can think of.
All right. I'm the only one. Coop? Hey.
I found drugs in a Vegas hotel room.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
What was it, weed or was it some strong stuff?
It was pills.
Oh.
Yes.
Oxycontin
or something
like that?
I did not try it.
That's Russian roulette, really. That's real Russian roulette.
Yeah. But no, I just tossed it.
All right. To Ask Ben, your questions, our answers. If you like this, we do it every week at about this time. And if you really like it, we do a spin-off version on my podcast every Sunday, the fifth hour. All right. What is next here, Koopa?
This is a good one from Emmett. It's for everybody.
Emmett, the blind Seahawk fan and big fan of Fox Sports Radio's producing staff.
And I feel like the only one that's going to answer yes to this question, Emmett, is Ben. Have you been to a friend or relative's house that made dinner and it was so bad that you couldn't eat it?
Oh, of course, all the time. Listen, I hate eating at other people's houses. I can't stand it. It bothers me. You know, I love my in-laws, and we spend out, you know, most of my family lives elsewhere, and the ones that lived here are gone. They've died. And I go to my in-law's house, and I love them, but I don't like to eat in front of people, no matter what it is. And a lot of the food's terrible they make, so I hate it. Yeah, Eddie?
No, I've never had that experience before. No? I went to somebody's house, and the food was awful. No.
Okay. Roberto? Honey.
Yeah, I haven't had that experience either.
You've not? Oh, come
on,
man.
No.
Come on. Coop?
Never.
Ben's just a diva.
And, well, even if I don't,
I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
Even if I don't like it, I just force myself to finish it. I mean,
No, I don't do that.
It's never been anything so bad to where I'm like, I can't get it down. You know?
My new thing is I have an excuse. Well, I'm fasting, and I'm on a diet, and I can't eat
right
now.
That's good. That's why you did that.
Right. Intermittent fasting. You got an out when you don't want to eat something. Sorry, I'm on a fast. I can't do it. All right. What is next? Real quick, Coop. Limited time here.
All right. That one's too complicated, so I'll just go over to this one from James. He said, we know Ben and Gas Can are on Cameo. The rest of you, are you on Cameo and as well? If not, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, you guys want to get on Cameo? I can send you.
I don't think anybody wants to. I'm on Hot Mic, though. I do the Hot Mic broadcast.
What is that?
You watch sporting events with people, and they comment on
stuff. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Coming soon!